This is the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, as he indicated and asked permission to be able to do from his Duma.
Consequences for Russian aggression against Ukraine. It's Thursday, February 24th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, Ukraine's conflict's impact on children, overturning China's rare earth dominance, Afghan refugees find education in camps, outreach to Afghan women after the fall, taking a ride on a self-driving shuttle. It's all on today's VOA Asia. China is accusing the U.S. of creating fear and panic over the crisis in Ukraine and called for talks to reduce rapidly building tensions. Foreign Ministry spokesperson Hua Chunying said China is opposed to new unilateral sanctions imposed on Russia, reiterating a long-standing Chinese position. On Tuesday, President Joe Biden announced new economic sanctions to cut Moscow off from Western financing for its debt. VOA senior diplomatic correspondent Cindy Sain reports.
As Ukrainians braced for further Russian military action against them, President Joe Biden addressed the crisis and condemned Russian President Vladimir Putin.
This is the beginning of a Russian invasion of Ukraine, as he indicated and asked permission to be able to do from his Duma.
Biden announced a first round of sanctions targeting two Russian banks and several oligarchs, as well as other measures.
We're implementing full blocking sanctions on two large Russian financial institutions, VEB and their military bank. We're implementing comprehensive sanctions on Russian sovereign debt. That means we've cut off Russia's government from Western financing. It can no longer raise money from the West and cannot trade in its new debt on our markets or European markets either.
Biden stressed how united NATO allies are against Russia's aggression. He said the U.S. is working very closely with German leaders to make sure that the Nord Stream 2 oil pipeline from Russia to Germany will not move forward, echoing an earlier announcement from German Chancellor Olaf Scholz. After meeting with Ukraine's Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba in Washington, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters a potential meeting with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov this week will not happen. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Now that we see the invasion is beginning and Russia has made clear its wholesale rejection of diplomacy, it does not make sense to go forward with that meeting at this time.
European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell also announced new sanctions on Russia, saying they will hurt Moscow a lot.
Today we have agreed that the 51 members of the Russia State Duma who voted this violation of international law and territorial integrity and sovereignty of Ukraine will be listed in our sanctions list.
With Russia's parliament authorizing broader Russian military operations abroad, experts tell VOA there is no question this is a critical moment, and Putin has announced his plans to destroy the status quo in Ukraine. Michael Kimmage is with the German Marshall Fund. He spoke to VOA.
Putin is willing to pay for the destruction of that status quo a very high price, whether that's in terms of sanctions, perhaps in bloodshed, the kinds of price that come with military action.
The U.S. also announced they are sending additional forces to bolster NATO's eastern flank. Cindy Sain, VOA News.
We invite you to read more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. Research bringing up a child costlier in China than U.S. or Japan. Hong Kong to begin mandatory coronavirus testing of all citizens. Sri Lanka imposes power cuts as cash crisis deepens. China appoints a new special envoy for Horn of Africa. Nepal police fire tear gas to disperse protests of U.S.-funded projects. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The psychosocial well-being of an entire generation of Ukrainian children is at risk from war in the country's eastern Donbass region. That's according to the United Nations Children's Fund. With legions of Russian troops now pouring in, the situation is only getting worse, as VOA's Veronica Balderas-Iglesias reports.
From her house in Kyiv, Anna Voits closely monitors the situation in Ukraine's Luhansk region, which on Monday was recognized by Russian President Vladimir Putin as, quote, independent state, unquote, and where Voits' relatives live in the shadow of war.
My six-year-old niece does not go to school and her dance class because of the shelling around the city.
Voits, her husband, and their three sons fled the region 8 years ago after Russia annexed Crimea and instigated a separatist war in eastern Ukraine. It was hard on the children.
We could not even rent an apartment because we, as internally displaced persons, were denied housing. They also refused us housing because they saw that we have three children. The children saw our emotional struggle.
But for families that can't flee, the trauma persists and is worsening now as more Russian troops officially move in. After artillery shells hit a kindergarten in the eastern territories on February 17, UNICEF warned, quote, the conflict has taken a severe toll on the psychosocial well-being of an entire generation of children, unquote. Local child advocates say the trauma is evident in many ways. SOS Children's Village's national director in Ukraine, Serhiy Lukashov.
It is becoming the part of their personality through the passive aggression, through the difficulties for younger children, difficulties in communication.
Julius Kubietsa is the project director at the War Childhood Museum in Ukraine.
It's not just about psychological effect. It's about chronic diseases that develop because of the stress, because of the lack of access to fulfilling the basic needs, because of the loss of safety.
An advisor to the United Nations on Displaced People, Professor Elizabeth Ferris, says she's terrified there will be a full-scale Russian invasion.
UNICEF right now estimates that some 400,000 children are in need of humanitarian assistance before any more conflict erupts. The immediate needs will be to provide shelter, and this is the middle of winter, to people who are displaced, to provide probably medical care would be urgent, water, food, shelter.
Anna Voits knows the struggle her own niece faces if forced to leave.
It will be a scar for life because you lived in your house, in your native environment, with your friends and family. Then your life changes radically.
In June 2020, Ukraine told the United Nations that 147 children had died during the Russian armed aggression in Donbas, many by shelling, mines, or touching explosives. For the sake of her niece and others, Voits can only hope for the war to end. Veronica Valderas-Iglesias for VOA News, Washington.
Still ahead on VOA Asia, pushback on China's rare earth dominance. Happening now in Asia. More than a month after its single undersea fiber optic cable was severely damaged by a volcanic eruption and tsunami, the Pacific island nation of Tonga is finally reconnected to the rest of the world. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've decided to join us here on VOA Asia. The Biden administration announced on Tuesday actions taken by both the federal government and private industry that it says will bolster the critical mineral supply chain used in technologies, including electric vehicles, batteries, solar panels, and wind turbines, as well as electronics and defense systems. The administration sought to frame its push as both a boost to its sustainability, as well as lessening the nation's dependence on China, which is a major producer of some of those minerals. VOA's Patsy Wadukaswara has the story.
To build military jet planes, we need rare earth and other critical minerals like lithium and cobalt. The same goes for cars, computers, phones, and practically all other consumer electronics. Currently, China controls most of the global market of these minerals.
We can't build a future that's made in America if we ourselves are dependent on China for the materials that power the products of today and tomorrow.
On Tuesday, President Joe Biden announced actions taken by the federal government and private industry that he says will bolster the supply chain of rare earths and other critical minerals seen here at a Mongolian plant. The steps include a $35 million contract to MP Materials to process rare earth elements at its facility in California.
So your investment will complement more than $700 million that MP will invest by 2024 to create an American rare earth magnetics supply chain. As you said, these magnets are essential to our economy and the clean energy transition.
Rare earths are not really rare minerals, just difficult and expensive to mine and process cleanly. The U.S. is the second largest miner of rare earths after China, according to the latest government data. They are critical elements to transition to cleaner energy. Phoebe Moon is a doctoral candidate at University of California, Irvine, focusing on global supply chain.
So we are using more hydro energy, we are using more environment-friendly energy sources. And the list of rare earth materials that Biden administration announced that they will be targeting on this issue really has that in its heart.
Other steps the White House announced include a pilot project to recover critical minerals from waste from mines and projects to recycle battery materials. Earlier this week, Beijing announced sanctions aimed at restricting access to rare earth minerals by Lockheed Martin and Raytheon, two American companies that provide maintenance services to Taiwan's missile defense systems, which China considers its breakaway province. Last month, legislators introduced a bipartisan bill in the U.S. Senate that would prohibit defense contractors from procuring rare earths from China by 2026 and force the Pentagon to create a strategic reserve of those minerals by 2025. Patsy Wadukaswara, VOA News, Washington.
You can read and see much more on this story and others at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Happening now in Asia. Experts say North Korea is exploiting the lack of global regulatory controls on cryptocurrency to steal digital currencies to fund its nuclear weapons and missile programs. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia, Twitter, and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. Afghan refugees in an Albanian camp have set up a makeshift school so that their children can continue their education. Following the Taliban's takeover of Afghanistan this past August, thousands of Afghans were evacuated to Albania and are now awaiting relocation to a third nation. VOA's Nashaba Ashna has the story.
A makeshift school for Afghan refugee children in Gollum, Albania. After the Taliban took control of Afghanistan in August, around 2,000 Afghans were evacuated to Albania in the hopes of being transported to a third nation. Not knowing when they will be relocated, some refugees started classes for their children.
The first days that we arrived, I saw no one was going to school. Then I and others worked to open a school. Fortunately, now we have a school where approximately 7 to 8 subjects are taught, including English, computer, Pashto, Dari, and Albanian.
The classes say refugee families will help their children keep up with their schoolwork.
Although the school and classes are temporary, they will help children who were deprived of education in Afghanistan to continue their studies.
The refugees say they worry about the state of girls' education in Afghanistan, where the Taliban have banned girls from attending school from grades 7 through 12.
The Taliban have not allowed them to get an education. It's a major concern for us. It should be solved as soon as possible.
The Taliban have implemented repressive rules on Afghan women and girls since regaining power, including barring them from working, secondary education, and long-distance travel. For Noshaba Ashna in Washington, Naveed Orgzai, VOA News.
International tourists arrived in Australia Monday with few restrictions for the first time in almost 2 years. The Australian government has lifted some of the strictest pandemic measures of any democracy in the world. Vaccinated travelers were greeted at Sydney's airport by jubilant well-wishers promoting everything Australian. The reopening comes in the nick of time for one couple. Here's American tourist RJ Landis.
Oh my gosh, how many times have we tried this? So many times. And the fact that you guys opened up just in time, literally like 3 days before the wedding, is unbelievable. So the moment it was announced, we booked it, came out here, and it's just unbelievably, it's surreal. I don't know. I'm losing my mind right now.
Peter Bayliss has been separated from his parents for almost 2 years.
My story is I live in Canada, and my parents live here, so I haven't been able to visit since just before COVID.
Tourism Australia Managing Director Philippa Harrison says it will take a while to get tourist levels back to where they were before COVID-19 restrictions forced the closures of the country's borders. The World Health Organization is creating a global training center to help poorer countries make vaccines, antibodies, and cancer treatments. They're using the messenger RNA technology that has successfully been used to make COVID-19 vaccines. WHO Director General Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the new hub will be based in South Korea and will share mRNA technology being developed by WHO, as well as partners in South Africa, where scientists are working to recreate the COVID-19 vaccine made by Moderna. That effort is taking place without Moderna's help.
Producing mRNA vaccines poses some barriers to low- and middle-income countries, including their costs, the fact that they require a cold chain that's difficult and expensive to implement. It also requires a skilled and trained workforce. Currently, biomanufacturing training facilities are located mainly in high-income countries and operate on a fee-based system, putting them out of reach for many lower-income countries. Last week, we announced the first 6 African countries that will receive technology to produce their own mRNA vaccines: Egypt, Kenya, Nigeria, Senegal, South Africa, and Tunisia. Today, we're announcing a further 5: Bangladesh, Indonesia, Pakistan, Serbia, and Vietnam. That brings the total so far to 13, and we're in discussion with several other countries.
It is the first time that the WHO has supported such unorthodox efforts to reverse engineer a commercially sold vaccine, making an end run around the pharmaceutical industry, which has largely prioritized supplying rich countries over poor in both sales and manufacturing. Making headlines in Asia. The United Nations' top North Korean human rights expert is urging the international community to send 60 million doses of coronavirus vaccines to North Korea. It's one of only 2 countries that have yet to begin widespread COVID-19 vaccination campaigns. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia. Since taking control of the Afghan capital last August, the Taliban has imposed severe restrictions on women and girls, forcing many to give up on their education, careers, hopes, and dreams. But at least one international group is trying to help. Karina Befrajan reports.
For Afghan women and girls, their lives changed when the Taliban took over Kabul in 2021, forcing out U.S. and international forces in a chaotic withdrawal. The Taliban closed secondary schools for girls and imposed other restrictions on women, including employment.
Women have been told that they cannot return to work or travel in public without being accompanied by a mahram. And above the age of 12 and grade 6 and above, above girls are not allowed to go to school. It is still the same. But they are only letting those female and girls, women who are going to university by wearing black hijab and everything fully covered. They have also separated the classes of girls and boys.
Women's lives have shrunk to household routines. Grocery shopping and visiting relatives remain the only activities in their life.
I'm in touch with our Women for Women International program participants. They were so much scared when newly the Taliban came and took control over Afghanistan.
Women for Women International is a civil society group whose aim is to help women and girls all over the world protect their rights. The organization reopened its training centers in Afghanistan in late January. These training programs include business classes and home economics. The group also says it has resumed cash transfers to program participants.
At the end of the month, we are paying stipend, which was $10, and still it is $10. But we have converted in Afghani, now it's 1,000 Afghanis. Mm-hmm. So through this, we are helping those participants.
Sadat hopes that the restrictions imposed on women and girls in Afghanistan will be loosened soon. Karina Befrajan for VOA News, Washington.
Self-driving vehicles may someday make transportation safer and less expensive, but they're not doing that yet. To check out how it's coming along, a skeptical transportation scientist recently joined two other experts for a ride on a mostly autonomous shuttle. Shelley Schlender reports.
These little buses in Golden, Colorado are Golden Rovers. Rovers have no steering wheel. They drive pre-programmed routes on a college campus and public streets, carrying up to six passengers.
Today, the Golden Rovers will carry three special passengers.
These transportation experts are about to take a ride on a rover. Amy Ford has helped Colorado craft self-driving regulations. Some self-driving technology is already in cars, she says.
My adaptive cruise control and my lane keeping.
Tyler Swedock spearheaded this self-driving shuttle project.
I think we will see driverless, truly driverless transit operations this decade.
Transportation scientist Wes Marshall is more skeptical.
5 years ago, everyone said we're going to be fully autonomous 5 years from now,
right.
And we're not. Maybe just would prioritize sidewalks and bike lanes.
The three transportation experts take their seats.
The shuttle is self-driving, mostly.
Standing in the little rover is a college student.
My name is Ed, and I'm an operator here.
The shuttle itself decides when to stop and where to go. Operator Ed tells it when to go.
Operator Ed points to a stop sign.
It's at a stop sign, and it's still waiting, so I just have to press this button and tell it to go.
Wes Marshall says the shuttle's 20-kilometer-an-hour speed annoys human drivers.
You can see all the cars backing up behind us.
Yes. Yep.
Getting a little frustrated. Sort
of suddenly, the shuttle stops.
The rover decided on its own to make this stop, and it's so fast, everyone lurches, except for Operator Ed.
So that was a neat stop.
Operator Ed explains, on its own, the shuttle made an emergency stop, avoiding a careless driver. Transportation expert Amy Ford says the rover made the right decision.
It's seeing a car who sort of slips over the lane and a roundabout.
To make the shuttle go again, Operator Ed pushes a button.
Yep.
None of these experts say the shuttle is ready to drive all by itself. But even self-driving skeptic Wes Marshall wants projects like the rover to keep trying.
If it stops here, it's not going to be that useful to people.
Amy Ford nods her head.
State of the
art today, and then it will continue to grow.
And so for now, this semi-self-driving shuttle will continue gathering data about how to get better. Steps toward a true autonomous driving future. Shelley Schlender for VOA News, Golden, Colorado.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.